There is a snootiness to San Francisco that I just, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. It was there when I lived there, and I'm sure it's there now. Yeah, for sure. Faux show. I knew you were going to do that. Just as like, I'm waiting for him to say something incriminating, and then I'm going to start it. And that's what's going to be on the top of the pod. Oh, man. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Making today make sense, we hope.
Yeah, I'm Marielle Segarra. Thanks for joining us. It is Hollowed Out Shell Thursday, but I'm not feeling that hollow today. How about you?
Yeah, no, I feel all right, actually. I mean, it's, but, you know, one never knows what the next 15 minutes are going to bring. But that said, you know, so far, so good.
Yeah, it's okay. I feel like we got the hollowness out of our systems on, what was it, Monday when we talked?
Yeah, we
and it was
did.
Like a
yeah,
super
Monday
depressing
was a
day.
Grim. Yeah. Monday was a little grim. Yeah. The way it goes on Thursdays and most other days, actually, which is to say Monday, Thursday, and these are the only two regular days where we do the news and then it makes me smile because every other day we got different things going on. Anyway, do a little news, do a little make me smile. We'll remind you how to get a hold of us, and then we'll move briskly on. I'll go first just because I'm up first in the rundown and I always do what producers tell me to do. Interesting little item from Exxon. It was technically yesterday. If you hear that huffing and puffing, it's my dog. It's Willow. She wants to play ball, and I'm not playing ball. Exxon said yesterday, told the SEC, for the first time in a filing, an official filing, that some of its oil and gas reserves might not be able to be taken out of the ground because of climate change. And then that, in turn, will lead them to being classified as what is called impaired on their balance sheets, which is to say they might never be able to be used to make money for ExxonMobil, which would be good for the planet, but bad for ExxonMobil. And I don't know if you remember, but like, Willie, cut it out. No, cut it out. I'm really
You can really,
really
get a visual with
like,
the like. You can,
I mean, here, I know. Well, come here. Well, I'll just take a quick picture and we'll put it on the show page. Willie, come here. Come here. I know, now she thinks this is for real. All right. Anyway, I don't even know if I got it because she's running around. A couple of months ago, Engine One, I think it was, that climate-minded, activist-minded hedge fund got a couple of seats on ExxonMobil's board, and this is then what has resulted. You have a more climate-oriented board at one of the biggest fossil fuel companies on the planet, which has now decided to admit, frankly, that climate change is going to mean that it has to leave some of its assets in the ground. And that's huge. That's just huge, because the only way to not get the carbon from oil and gas is to leave it in the ground. And I think that's worth a note here on this week or week two, I suppose, of Glasgow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fascinating to me. I mean, what is Exxon if it's not a fossil fuel company? Like, what else?
Right.
What else are they going to be about, really? I mean, maybe there's an
exactly.
answer to that. I don't know if you know the answer to that, but like, what are they going to pivot to?
Well, exactly. And, you know, and they will say, well, we're working on renewables and we're doing this and we're doing that. But look, they're a gas and oil company, right? Come on.
Yeah. I also, this is an accounting story, right? Like when we talk about impairment, that's accounting.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I love
sure.
an accounting story.
Absolutely.
Because there's so much in there. I don't know if you know that. My first job, I worked at a corporate finance trade magazine and I
that
took
is so
an accounting class.
I had no idea. You learn something new every single day. That's great. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Man.
And so you can learn so much by these like a couple lines in a company's financial statements.
Yep.
Yep.
Totally.
Well, I guess I will start. I actually have two today and I'm going to start
That's
with
all right.
one that has like a climate change sort of link. I don't know if you hear that motorcycle in the background, but sorry.
I do
that.
Not. Don't
New
worry
York City.
About it.
Okay,
you got
so
a dog, I got a motorcycle. It's all good.
Or the other way around.
Other way around. Other way around. Sorry. I got a dog, you got a motorcycle.
So the mayor-elect of New York City, Eric Adams, tweeted that he's going to take his first three paychecks in the form of Bitcoin, which made me wonder, like, does New York City pay in Bitcoin or is that just for the mayor? And did anybody in the New York City government know this was coming or did some bureaucrat, you know, sitting in the budget office or whatever, whoever does payroll, like they suddenly are like, oh my God, I have to figure this out now. Like, there's probably a whole system that has to be put in place to do this, and questions that'll come up, like, if they're doing it for the mayor, can it also, like, can anyone get paid in Bitcoin? And, you know, do they have to negotiate with the unions over that? There was a reporter...
And also... Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, there was a reporter from New York One who tweeted that, like, Eric Adams' camp said this would be basically a currency conversion. The city would convert dollars to Bitcoin, something the city technically cannot do, but would change. So, like, they're going to change the whole system just because it feels a little gimmicky.
It feels a lot gimmicky. And and also, oh, by the way, Bitcoin goes down too. And yes, you know, it's having a great run and it's at 62,000, whatever, but how are you going to be feeling, Mr. Mayor-elect, if Bitcoin, you know, the day you get your first paycheck is down at 45,000 and then the next day it's down at 40 and then the day after that's at 35? I mean, come on, man. Totally.
And it's basically an endorsement by the city saying, we think Bitcoin is a safe investment. Get paid in Bitcoin. Here you go. If they allow that. But and the climate change connection is just, you know, if this is something Eric Adams has said that he wants the city to be like basically a crypto center. What does that mean considering the city's climate change goals? Because Bitcoin mining is very, it emits a lot of carbon.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's horrible.
It's not great
for the
environment.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
So there's that. And then also, Hawaii is lifting many of its COVID restrictions and capacity restrictions in restaurants and stuff. And when the U.S. starts welcoming international tourists again, Hawaii is going to as well, which is a big about face because just a couple months ago, the state was saying, please do not come here. Like, our ICUs are full and also some environmental problems having to do with water. So don't travel here. And now, you know, it's interesting. I wonder how quickly tourists will feel like, okay, it really is okay to go, or like how quickly the tourism industry will be able to ramp back up and have enough rental cars and all of that stuff.
I think that's a really good question. I think the rental cars aspect actually is a really good one, but I don't know. I mean, I think probably a lot of people are probably okay with flying, right? You pop a mask on, it's miserable, but whatever. And you get on a plane from LA and, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours later, you're in Honolulu. That's not terrible. I could definitely see it picking up pretty quickly, right? You know,
you just have to have confidence that when you get there, it's going to be an enjoyable experience, and that you're not going to be. For a lot of people, they want to travel ethically, so that you're not going to be doing harm to the place that you're going. I think my brother and his wife got married and they were thinking about Hawaii, but they decided against it because it just was going to be, you'd have to get tested multiple times to go to the different islands. And there were just all these rules and restrictions. And yeah, they went to Puerto Rico instead.
Oh, interesting. Huh.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
So that's a change.
There we go. It's a change. Change for the better, one hopes. Look at that. Look at that. Drew Jostad on top of it. All right, you go first this time. Go.
Okay, so apparently on the International Space Station, astronauts for the first time have grown chilies. Megan MacArthur tweeted a taco that she made with, let me see what it is, fajita beef, rehydrated tomatoes, artichokes, and the chilies they grew. And it actually looks pretty good. I have to say, like, I mean, rehydrated tomatoes, I don't know, but like, it looks like a legit taco.
Sorry, that's pretty funny.
But you know, it's a lot. It looks much better than that. Like, remember that freeze dried astronaut ice cream that you could buy?
I totally do. I totally remember that. Yeah. My kids were way into that. And I'm like, this is styrofoam. What are you doing?
So bad. Yeah. No, it's so bad. But this looks like a legit taco. So that made me happy for them.
That's pretty funny. The whole rehydrated tomato things is funny. Because if you send regular tomatoes, you're carrying all that water up to orbit. And that is not fuel efficient. Okay. So mine comes from election day results the other day in New Jersey, where a coming-out-of-nowhere Republican named Edward Durr defeated the second most senior politician in that state. He's the New Jersey State Senate President, Stephen Sweeney, right? Sweeney's been around forever, total power figure. Durr literally comes out of nowhere, defeats this you know, boss, basically, in the New Jersey political system. But here's the best part. He spent $153 on his campaign. He spent $86.67 on campaign materials like, you know, signs and mailers and all that stuff. And the rest of the money, $66.64, he spent at Dunkin' Donuts. One imagines for his staff. And maybe the election night party. I don't know. How about that?
That must be the lowest campaign bill that anyone's ever had.
Probably. Probably.
That's amazing.
And you take out Dunkin' Donuts, it's even better. But anyway, I kind of love that. And you know, if you need any indicator that politics is changing, this guy in New Jersey's 3rd District is the harbinger of a wave election. But we'll revisit that in a year or whatever. Anyway, there you go. A couple of making smiles,
well, look,
a little bit of
news. He's generous
with
his staff. That's nice. Buying them munchkins.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. There you go. Boom. Done.
All right. Well, send us those make me smiles and your other thoughts and questions. You can also email us. We're makemesmart@marketplace.org, or you can call us. Our number is 508-827-6278 or 508-UBSMART. You can also write to us on our website, marketplace.org/makemesmart, and attach an audio file.
Modern technology. We can do the whole thing. We are done for today. Molly and I are back tomorrow. Molly. Anyway, Economics on Tap and the YouTube live stream, Discord as well. Molly will be keeping an eye on that. 3:30 West Coast time, 6:30 East Coast time. And if you don't want to miss a show, oh, by the by, just subscribe to this podcast. Would you get new episodes straight into your feed? You don't even have to lift a finger. All you have to do is listen. All you got to do is listen, which makes it easy. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Today's episode was engineered by Drew Jostad.
Bridget Bodner is our senior producer, and the interim executive director of On Demand is Donna Tam.
Donna. That's it. Doesn't work for Bridget.
Bridget.
It doesn't work. Too many consonants or something. I don't even know what it is.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.